Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And why is this night different from all others? Well, because there are tons of matzo balls being formed, briskets being prepared, and gefilte fish, horseradish, charosis, matzo brei, and kugel on the way. Happy Passover to all of you who celebrate. And as you prepare your Seder meals, we thought we would talk about Passover foods. Sean Gibby is a contributor to Tablet, an online magazine about Jewish news and culture. She wrote about how her religious conversion to Judaism was a cakewalk compared to the cultural conversion, mainly because she hated a lot of Jewish food. Sean is with me now to discuss how she stopped worrying and learned to love the eats. Sean Gibby, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
Lox and gefilte fish and cream cheese. What's not to like?
No, there's a lot to love. And I'm sort of in the process of teaching myself to fall in love with it. That's my project for the last couple of years, is, you know, trying to really engage with the foods that are a little less approachable to the outsider, and apprentice myself to friends who are cooks and who know the recipes of their grandmothers and mothers and who can teach them to me, and we're cooking together, and I'm starting to fall in love.
So, like what? Give me some examples, because to our Jewish listeners, you know, all of these Jewish dishes are just so Hamish, that is, they're so homey, that they can't imagine them be tasting foreign.
Right,
and
right.
Having to get used to them. So what was your, you know?
Well, I mean, probably the one of the first things that I made was chopped liver, which is something that I had never had growing up. I had never really had it as an adult, I don't think. But I was at a party with a friend, and I was telling her about this project of cooking Jewish food, and she said, well, my father makes the best chopped liver ever. And I said, oh, that's fantastic. Do you think he would give me the recipe? And she said, well, I'll ask him. So she emailed him, and he wrote her back. He's a fantastic cook. And he said, Jenny, I'm sorry I can't help your friend Sean. There's no recipe for this fantastic chopped liver. It's just common sense. You take a pound of liver and so many onions. And so I made my own schmaltz, and I got together with Jenny and another Jewish friend, and we used our friend Harriet's grandmother's bowl that her grandmother had used for making chopped liver that she brought over from Russia, you know, at the beginning of the last century, and her chopper, and we recorded it. And, you know, neither of them are consider themselves great cooks. I'm a beginning cook. It turned out fantastic. It was really delicious. So, I mean, you know, little by little, you're right. It's a Hamish food. But it's not something that in the wider American culture a lot of people are, you know, familiar with.
So I wonder if there are other converts to Judaism who might call up and share your experience of getting used to the food. What did you love? What were you already familiar with? What were you introduced to that may have been, oh my God, you eat this? You mean you eat this for fun? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Sean Gibby from Tablet, an online magazine about Jewish news and culture, you converted from being Quaker to Judaism,
right,
correct?
Right, I was a Quaker.
And just 6 years ago.
Yep.
And you say that your religious conversion was a cakewalk, as I said, but the cultural conversion was far more difficult.
Yeah.
What drew you to Judaism from Quakerism?
Well, I mean, I had been interested in Judaism as a small child, and, you know, growing up in a small town in Indiana where there were almost no Jews. So I didn't really have any. I remember reading about it in books and feeling drawn to the religion. But and then I grew up and I went to a Quaker high school, and I got a very good religious education. My parents did not raise us in any religious tradition, so we had, you know, pretty much open minds about it. And some of us, you know, became religious and some of us did not. So I got a good Quaker education, and the Quakers are wonderful. They're great. They're on the right side of everything. You know, it was a great place to be for 20 or so years while I sort of developed into the adult that I became, but there was always this pull towards Judaism. So I would, you know, I would talk to Jewish friends about the religion. I introduced myself to rabbis. I tried to learn Hebrew. But it wasn't until I came to New York and sort of accidentally found myself at Congregation B'nai Jeshurun, and that was the first time I attended a Jewish service.
Was it the theology? Was it the culture?
Well, the theology had drawn me all along.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got into that room. It was a dark room. I had just moved to town, full of strangers singing in a language I didn't know. And I burst into tears, and I just cried and cried.
I'm home.
Yeah, I felt I'm home. Now what do I do? You know, I was terrified.
Until you had a taste of gefilte fish. And you say, what do they filter it with? No, Abe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I was just, first of all, welcome to the religion, and it's a great shul that you go to. But I wanted to say that the from the sound of it, your take on Jewish food is Eastern European Jewish food.
That's right.
And, you know, lox and blintzes, those are Polish foods. If you go to a Hungarian community, you won't see a lot of that stuff. As a matter of fact, the food's very different. If you go to a Syrian or any Middle Eastern, their food is so totally different that sometimes we just can't even eat at the same meal almost.
Right, right.
You know, so you have to keep that in mind. You've got a long way to go before
no,
you have
that's
to come
true.
In.
Thank you very much.
You make a trip to Brooklyn and just taste all the food.
Thank you very much.
That's really true.
Gefilte fish, it's the texture, right?
Oh, it's so many things. I mean, I love fish, but, you know, it's cold for the most part, which is a strike against it right there. It's kind of sweet, the stuff that I've had. It's tended to be a little sweet.
Some
and then
the
kind of sliminess, as you say, yeah, that's... but, you know, I mean, I haven't had homemade gefilte fish yet, so I still have horizons to explore.
And you say you loathe matzah. How can you loathe matzah?
Well, you
Do
know,
you like but, rice cakes?
Triscuits? Not so much, no. And, you know, it's funny. There were a lot of people, lovely people, who commented at the bottom of the tablet article who said, who does like matzah? And one comment that I particularly appreciated was from a guy who pointed out, quite rightly, that it's not about liking it. You know, it's not the whole point of Pesach is not to enjoy the food. It's
right. The matzah represents the unleavened bread.
Right.
That was a point of deprivation.
Right, and it's called bread of our affliction for a reason.
And yet every Jewish kid growing up loves the matzah and thinks it's like crackers and it's a treat.
Yeah, well.
Joanne in Newburgh, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, thanks for the show. Really enjoy it almost every day.
Thank
and
you.
Today was very interesting. I am... I have two children that are all grown up. My husband is Jewish. And I never actually converted, but I did get a rabbi to marry us years ago. And I kept the holidays. And anyway, I found two books that were really helpful, and I just want to mention them and thank the authors. The Jewish Holiday Kitchen by Joan Nathan has been a Bible for me. And
there are
so many great recipes. And they all come from her family or her friend's family. You know, everything. It's just a great book. And then the other one that I've loved is the Jewish Holiday Cookbook, an international collection of recipes and customs.
So,
and that's by Gloria Green.
That's great. And how do you do with the food? Do you like it?
I really love it. But I grew up in, you know, a mixed neighborhood where, you know, 40-50% of the kids were Jewish. And... from the time I was little, I really just enjoyed being with their mothers
mm-hmm.
and, you know, learning to cook more than a lot of my friends
right.
did.
So you were more steeped in it. Joanne, thank you so much. By the way, Sean, do you have an opinion about the quinoa controversy, whether quinoa is an acceptable Passover grain?
Yeah, don't get me started. I definitely think it should be, you know, on the Pesach table. I don't see it's not kidney oat, so I don't. As far as I can tell. So, I mean, I'm not an expert, but I think they should have it on the table. People enjoy it.
This is the new controversy.
Yes, I know.
Is quinoa kosher for Passover?
Yeah.
Joanna in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. You converted,
yes,
didn't you?
Good morning. I actually didn't even really know what a Jew was till I was about 21. And then I married one. And luckily I had a really mother-in-law who was a phenomenal German Jewish cook. Mm. And I'm standing here right now making the whole Passover meal for my family, and I love that style of Jewish food. And I think I have the best matzo recipe on the planet. I'm very proud of it. Wow. So,
what's the secret ingredient?
The secret ingredient is you make it with whole matzo, not matzo meal.
Oh.
And also almonds. You do find almonds in some regular matzo balls, but it's a phenomenal recipe.
Thank you very much.
That sounds
my
good.
Pleasure.
Adam in West Hempstead, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to point out, I work at a yeshiva in Brooklyn, and there are a lot of kids who are Sephardic and a lot of kids who are Ashkenazic, and they have culture. When we have a weekend events where we come together and they're exposed to the other cuisines of the other community, everybody starts freaking out. They go, oh, is this good? Is this bad? They go, food is food. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. It depends who's making it. People should not be prejudiced when they try new food items.
That's true. That's very true.
There you go. And so the Sephardic, that's the Middle Eastern Jews. So is it what we would think of as, from any Middle Eastern restaurant, hummus, baba ganoush, grape leaves, that kind of thing?
Exactly. They use a lot of to the Eastern European Jew, the Sephardic food is very Middle Eastern. So you have a lot of things with tamarind. One of the things I find really interesting in the Sephardic food is that everything is made one at a time, bite-sized pieces. In the Ashkenazic food, you just throw another potato into the kugel, you feed more people. But that precision of like these little bite-sized food items is really time-consuming. Mm-hmm. But when it's done well, it's really, really delicious and really satisfying.
Adam, thank you for your call. And Sean Gibby, before you go, we have about a minute left. You did decide after you converted to learn how to prepare these traditional foods. You enlisted your friends, as you've been telling us, to help you learn to make fish balls, matzo brei, kugel, chopped liver, you bake challah, you made blintzes.
Yeah.
What have you really come to like?
Oh, everything. Everything that I've made so far. And
oh,
it's
yeah,
just
as long
this,
as you make it.
As long as
it,
I make it, that's right. No, but I mean, what somebody said before is true. It's a whole universe. And I really look forward to just continual exploration in the company of my friends, my new Jewish family. It's a treat.
And happy Pesach.
Happy Pesach. Thanks very much.
I hope you enjoy your Seder.
I expect to.
Your new Jewish family. Sean Gibby, contributor to Tablet, an online magazine about Jewish news and culture. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
And coming up tomorrow on The Brian Lehrer Show, why it's so hard to open farmers markets in the inner city. Wednesday, by the way, we have Kurt Anderson on Donald Trump. So a lot to listen for every day here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Thanks so much for listening today. Hope to talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.